This is the Kratom Science Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Gallagher, blog and social media writer for KratomScience.com, your source for all things Kratom. My guest this week is Michael Carr. He's originally from Philadelphia and currently resides in Jacksonville, Florida. Michael takes Kratom for anxiety, depression, and chronic pain. He's growing his own Rifat Kratom tree in his backyard and hopes one day to grow enough Kratom at home for a personal supply. When did you first start using Kratom and why? That's the main basic question here.
Oh, of course. Well, the first time would have to be a few years back, maybe 4, maybe 5, somewhere in that realm. Used it for a little bit, then I stopped taking it. And we'll say about 2.5 years ago, started helping a buddy of mine open up his vape shop. It's local to where I'm living. And I started it from the ground up. I did all of his marketing for him, his advertising. And I started selling Kratom. And I remembered. I said, oh, I remember that stuff. Started taking it again, and I haven't stopped.
So why did you start taking it?
Well, I mean, I deal with anxiety, depression. I have fibromyalgia, so I deal with pain. See here, I have post-traumatic arthritis in my collarbone, so I take it for that as well. Mainly anxiety and pain. There's, you know, a whole slew of other things that it helps with. So it's kind of an all-around perfect plant.
You said you take it for 4 different ailments, and I think you just said 3, depression, anxiety, fibromyalgia. Is there another one?
Well, let's see. So the fibromyalgia, that's the pain. I take it for the anxiety. I take it for depression. I take it for inflammation. I also take it because it simply makes me feel good. It brings me back to life. You know, I've dealt with a lot of nonsense in the days, you know, behind me. And I guess a lot of that nonsense is stuck in my subconscious mind. I might not be thinking about it all the time, but it's there. It comes to life in its own dark way. So Kratom brings me back to life. It brings me, turns me back into me again, you know? And I love it for that, because if it weren't for that, I'd be hiding in the, you know, room somewhere in my house, scared of the world, not being able to do anything.
Yeah.
And that's a person I don't want to go back to. You know, I used to be on the benzos. I used to be on the painkillers, the antidepressants. You name it, I was probably on it. I'll take any of it now.
And you said post-traumatic something for your neck. What was the event that happened there?
I broke my collarbone when I was 16 years old, and it snapped right in half, so it was a complete break. Never healed right, so they call it post-traumatic arthritis.
How did that happen?
I was running down a hill in Philadelphia near my house.
Yeah.
It's called Burholm Park. My buddy fell. I fell on top of him, and then my buddy, who was about 280 pounds, fell on top of me. So I got sandwiched in between two of my guys and snapped my collarbone right in half.
That sucks.
No, it sure sucks. I'll tell you that.
Does it help specifically with your pain? And the whole thing about depression and anxiety is, like, I kind of have that a little bit. Not as bad as some people I know, but I mean, I think with the Kratom, it's like gets you motivated, kind of like coffee, but a little bit more. Is that how you experience it with in relation to depression?
Yeah, and then with depression, it can come with a whole shitload of different symptoms. But you're right on. You're spot on with what you said. You know, like when you get that first cup of coffee in the morning, you get a little boost of energy. You get a little bit. Damn, I can do this. This day is going to be a good day, you know. But that only lasts for a little bit, you know. The Kratom is like that, but it's more intense, and it's just longer lived, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
to me, it's like, I tell people, it's like, if you take, like, 2 teaspoons, it's like a triple shot of espresso that lasts for 4 or 5 hours.
Exactly.
You know, it'll last you all day.
Right on.
It's they talk about it like it's this evil drug. And, you know, it's like kids are using it to get high, and it's like not really to get high thing at all. It's more like a kind of a functional coffee type of thing.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with you.
Now, you said you've been sober for 10 years. Did Kratom help you get sober from other drugs?
Well, no, but it got me off. Well, I guess you could say in a sense that it did. because I was taking benzos, I was taking Xanax and Clozapine for anxiety. I was taking Tramadol and Percocet for pain. You know, I was taking antidepressants, but the main thing that it got me off of was benzos and painkillers. I don't have to take them anymore. And that's huge. That's fucking huge right there, man.
So that's what, because you say you've been sober, but did it help you stop drinking at all or anything?
Well, I don't drink. I haven't drank in 10 years, so. But I would say that if I was still drinking, knowing myself in the past, that, this probably would help me tremendously being able to stop drinking if I still was, because I know me, I know how I am. So if I think right now, if I was back into my drinking days and what I was doing and how I was feeling, this would take over and allow me to live my life without having to drink to make my own life disappear. You know what I mean? That's why people drink when they're drunk. You're addicted, but you're trying to get away from life, trying to escape reality.
Would you say, like, you have an addictive personality, maybe?
Oh, yeah, I do.
People take Kratom every day. It's like, well, they might be dependent on it, but I don't feel like it's addictive. I drink coffee every day, but, you know, it's not something that's going to get me in trouble.
Absolutely. I'm not going to go robbing stores because I need money for Kratom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. No, not at all. You make it to get through your day, to feel normal again, to stay off of those things that you might not want to be on. And like you said, it's a coffee on steroids.
So you said you're growing refat trees?
Rifet, yes. It is actually, well, there's two forms of kratom. There's bumblebee and rifet. Rifet is a more of a pain-relieving, sedating, while the bumblebee is more energetic.
So refat is like the red, is that the red strain?
Yeah, it's a tie. It's a red tie vein. And it's actually, there's a gentleman named Claude Rifat. He's a botanist from Switzerland. He came out and grew basically the first rifat plant outside of Thailand. And if you look into it, rifat is very rare and it's very sought after because it's very high in mitragynine, which is one of the main alkaloids that helps with all these things. So, you know, it's wind resistant, it's rain resistant, it can go in direct sunlight. It's easier to grow than any other form of kratom. You know, it's more sedative in comparison to the bumblebee form. And along with that, you have, like, when it comes to the drying, you know, different types of drying can preserve, oxidize, or destroy alkaloids. The rifat is it's very strong. It's a very deep-rooted plant, so to speak, and it's very resistant to a lot of things. So I'm growing one right now. I've got about, let's see, I'm going to grab a handful more of them from my buddy. He's an herbalist, but I've got one plant now. It's about almost a foot tall. It looks beautiful, but we're about to repot it again, and then it's gonna root pretty deep. So she'll be about 3 or 4 feet tall in about another 6 months.
Are you growing that indoors or outdoors?
Oh, she's outside already.
Okay. Now, in Florida, do you think it's a good climate in Florida to grow? Because these things grow in Southeast Asia, and it's like right on the equator. So I'm just asking about the climate. Is Florida a good climate to grow kratom? Do you think there could be, you know, a couple acres of kratom trees in Florida? Because it'd be great to have some domestic kratom.
Well, the guy that I got this plant from, he has a tree on the side of his house. It's probably about 25 feet tall now. It's 2 years old. He's got about 13 plants on his property right now. I would say that this Florida for the rifat plant is it's a great area for it because it's very resistant to wind and water and temperature, and it loves direct sunlight. It loves direct sunlight. I've watched my tree sprout six new leaves in the last 2 weeks. And grow upwards of 3.5 to 4 inches almost. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when do you expect them? Because I've heard, like, it takes about 3 years for the alkaloids to start working in the leaves. And, I mean, that's like with a lot of plants. Like, wine takes years and years to grow, like, good wine grapes. And a coffee plant takes a couple years. What do you think about that?
Well, they say it does take a few years for maturity. It's something I'd have to look into, but I was also told by somebody that as soon as the stem reaches 8 millimeters in girth, that it is actually at a point where you can begin to pick the leaves and actually use them as a medicine. And 8 millimeters is pretty tiny. It's not big at all. And that's just the stem, mind you. You know, and I've looked through your website and I see that you have photos of, you know, people that you've interviewed. I can send you also photos of this plant and keep you updated as it's growing.
Definitely, yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so you can see it progress and grow. It's pretty amazing to watch. It amazes me every day. It's always different. But, yeah, I can do that for you. You can throw it up on your site, whatever you want. And I know a lot about it, so I can give you some information about it, too, if you need it.
Yeah, that'd be great. We're definitely interested in anybody that's growing it in the United States. It would be great if we could do it, and it would probably take greenhouses up here in the north, just because, you know, the FDA is getting into the brains of the Indonesian government, and they're trying to get them to shut it down. However, it's so good for their farmers, I don't think it's going to happen. I think there's going to be some kind of rebellion if they shut down kratom production there. If you had, 5 minutes to tell somebody how to grow a kratom tree, what would you say? Start to finish.
Well, I don't know.
Where do you get the seeds, even?
That's a good question. I have not gotten my hands on seeds. The plant that I have was grown by my buddy who's an herbalist. So he started the tree, and then I got it from him.
Okay.
Growing, from what I was heard, it's very difficult to get these trees to seed, which is why he only has what he has, you know, when it comes to it. But, no, I would have to say, from start, I don't know, because when I got it, it didn't start as a seedling. So, I had it from, growth, about a month old. So, that being said, it's just a very hungry tree. They love water. They just drink tons of it. So, I just make sure it's watered. I keep it outside in the sun, and that's it. I keep it in regular potting soil. Nothing fancy. I let nature do its thing. I don't intervene. I just let nature take its course, and I watch it grow every day.
You know, the great thing I think about we have this kratom community, kratom warriors, the kratom movement, but we all come together for this one thing, is to keep kratom legal, and I think, I don't know if you agree, but I think we all want to make it regulated, so every company that we're buying kratom from, we know that they're on the up and up. So, do you agree with all that?
I sure do. I sure do. Absolutely. I get from reputable companies myself. I know that they are being, you know, tested. I know what's going in my body. And, you know, in another year from now, I'll be cultivating my own in my backyard and drying my own and consuming my own. Well, I get the powder for myself. Yeah, I haven't tried the leaf yet, but I'm thinking about giving it a shot. Can't hurt, of course, you know?
Are there any, strains that you prefer over others, red or white?
I usually go with a green or a white. What I take is kind of a mixture of red, green, and white. That's my main one that I take right now, so it's a mixture. It has, I think, 50% green, 25% white, and 25% red.
And the other
one that I take is primarily reds. I'll mix those two together. I'll do 1 tablespoon or teaspoon of each. So I get my 3 mixes, red, green, and white, and then I get my primarily red. I use that for the pain. Mix them together. So
yeah.
That works perfect for me. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I've been talking to people, I've been doing a lot of interviews in the last couple of weeks, and I'm like, is it really? Because sometimes you get a white strain from one company, and then keeps you awake, and then sometimes you get a white strain from another company, it's more sedating than the red strain. It's almost like, I wonder how different the strains really are, or if it depends on the company and where the trees were grown, and, you know.
Most of it depends on the drying process, because the drying process is what makes it red, green, or white, you know? So it depends on that. It depends on where it's come from, Indonesia, Thailand, you know. And then it depends on who you're getting it from. It's always going to be different. That's why I find the companies that I find, I make sure they're legit. They have good stuff. I stick to it. No need to change it. It's not broke. Don't fix it.
There's a lot going on in Florida around kratom in both the science and political fields. In Gainesville, the University of Florida's School of Pharmacy is doing some of the best research in the world on kratom. Led by Dr. Christopher McCurdy, the school recently received $6 million in grants from the National Institute on Drug Abuse to study kratom. In Broward County, just northwest of Miami, Representative Kristen Jacobs has launched a vanity crusade against kratom. She was featured in the documentary A Leaf of Faith. Jacobs sponsored several bills that would outlaw kratom in Florida. In 2017, she said of Kratom advocates, quote, "Just like Hitler believed, if you tell a lie over and over again, it becomes the truth," end quote.
Is there any political situation going on in Florida?
Nah, there was one senator, she was trying her darndest to get it banned here.
Was she the Leaf of Faith one?
Yep, she got what she deserved, which was nothing. She got nowhere with it, and she will not get anywhere with it.
So she's still in power, is she kicked out at all?
I think she's still somewhere elected. Doing some dumb stuff, yep.
That's why I think, like, what do you think about the American Kratom Association? I think they're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, I would have to say that they're doing a damn good job, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
They really take their time, they really get their information right, they do their homework, they put it out there. Yeah, I would have to say I'm pretty damn happy with them.
The other thing I ask everybody is, have you ever had any side effects from taking Kratom?
No. I mean, the worst thing that probably happened to me was I fucking got constipated for a few days, and I just popped an accident.
Yeah, everybody says that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, but that's life. That'll happen with a boatload of stuff, so that's nothing to me. I don't even consider it a side effect. Yeah, I'll definitely send you a picture of that tree, man.
Keep me up to date on that. Because that's another lane I'm going to go in and starting to write about domestic cultivation of it here in the United States. Yeah, I just want to learn about, because I think it'll be a good thing to just start cultivating it in other places, because you never know what the political situation will be in Indonesia. But luckily, they legalize it for medicinal purposes again in Thailand, which it should be legal there. It should really just be legal there. It's like half of my Google alert things are from Thailand, like, oh, this man was caught with a kilo of Kratom. And it's like, it should be legal there, man. It's just not. They outlawed it there in the first place because they had the opium trade going on. But domestic cultivation, like, if we can get that going, it would be great. And it would be a good, supplemental income for farmers. I mean, we have hemp that's legal, and then marijuana's probably going to be legal in a couple years anyway, federally. Anything that's a good cash crop for farmers.
More people need to be acclimated, educated, informed about this amazing tree here. And I think the way that you're doing it is definitely a huge stepping stone and a slew of different stepping stones that are all going to lead to the same place. And with any luck, you know, it's going to be able to help a lot more people.
Yeah.
I love it, man. This is good stuff.
Thanks for listening to the Kratom Science Podcast. Thanks to my guest, Michael Carr. Music is by Rizy. It's called Memories of Thailand. For more information on all things Kratom, see kratomscience.com.